All right, kids, as we're getting into episode 3, remember to install the pop filter on your mic. So what happened was I have used like the same mic forever, the Shure SM7B, and it has been an excellent microphone for me. I do lots of music and all kinds of fun vocal things with this microphone, but I thought I'd get real fancy, and they make a USB version too, so I thought I'd install that. And I don't like it as much yet. So what you're hearing me through right now is this, but I'm still not used to it. I was listening to the last two episodes since I switched over to this microphone, and it's like I'm not quite used to, I don't have the mic dialed in yet. So if I've been driving you crazy with the pops and the things like that, it will get better. Just anytime we make changes to improve, you have to go back and do simple stuff. So there is a pop filter on now, but it's still not quite what I want it to be. But we'll get there. So that has nothing to do with this episode, but why not tell you all the fun things I'm thinking as I'm doing these episodes. We have been covering Kairosites.io, a business that we started from scratch. This is episode number 3. And I'm going to be honest with you. I think this episode is fascinating. Like, what you are about to hear is absolutely fascinating to me. And I mean this. This is one of the things that I wish I had had when I started this episode. Like, this episode right here is just an absolute game changer. What we're about to go through, you're about to meet someone named Marshall Robertson, and he's a good friend of mine. We've known each other for a very long time, and we've been working on some cool things the last little bit. He's a part of Kairosites, and what he's doing is he's actually building our sales process. So him and I have been working very hard on building a sales process. Now, what you're going to actually learn with this is, let's say that you don't want to depend on Facebook ads and you don't want to depend on on like traditional internet marketing things to get your traffic and to get leads through the door and then to make sales. How do you actually do that? Well, we've built a process for it, and you know, we're starting pretty much from scratch here. Of course, we've learned lots of things of how to do this from other fun people, and we've done things like this in the past, but for this business, it's from scratch. So what you're about to dive into is meeting Marshall, and him and I, in the next hour, going through exactly how we're going to sell these sites, how we're going to get on our clients' radar, our potential clients' radar, you know, how we get in front of these chiropractors, how do we even like decide that these are the chiropractors that we want to work with or not, and like the process of, you know, going through it, actually getting in front of them and, you know, getting them on a demo eventually, all the things. And so it's a 3-part sales process. I think you're going to really enjoy this, and I think you're going to be fascinated by it, just as fascinated as I have been. And like I said, I helped build this process, but this interview is just packed chock full of how to build a sales team from the ground up. And so I think you're going to love this. But without any further ado, let's dive in. Let's get started. Let's do it. All right. So first things first, man, thanks for being with me here today. For everybody that does not know you, this is Marshall Robertson. We've been in good friends for a long time, man. I mean, just a ridiculous amount of time spent together over the past 30 years or so. And I mean, like, that's really what we're talking about, you guys. Like, we've known each other forever. My first sort of intro to Marshall was we played basketball together. And that was like, you know, so we actually got used to being on a team with each other a long, long time ago. And, you know, I think the scary part for a lot of people out there is working with your friends, because you don't really, you know, you have a friend relationship, but you don't have a working relationship, and you don't know what that's going to be like.
this has been like the best thing for me ever. Just to give you guys, you know, a real candid background of this, like when I started working with my friend, I went in really cautious. But I went in cautious, not because of like, I didn't know the work ethic of this person. Like I knew he was a badass at what he did. And we'll get into that in just a second. But I got into, you know, I was afraid that, you know, working together might hurt our friendship. But to me, this has been kind of just a really rewarding experience just because I get to see my friend more and we get to sort of drive towards something, you know, that's the same in terms of a professional setting. So I'm not saying it always works out with everybody, but like this has been a great thing for me. Now, all that aside, Marshall, you're here with me today. And we're about to start building something on top of what we've been building the last couple of years. And so first things first, man, thanks for being with me. And, it's good to have you, man. And, you know, first things first, I want people to get to know you a little bit. And besides, you know, us being good friends for all these years, kind of give people a background from like, you know, what you went to school to do, what your interest has been in, you know, sort of the working world and, you know, kind of what your work experience has been before, you know, we ever got together in terms of, you know, us building a company together.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for having me. I'm pumped to get to talk about this stuff today. It's going to be really fun. But I think the best place to, and you nailed it right from the beginning is, you know, we've obviously known each other a whole lot longer than we haven't known each other. And just from my outside perspective, I always wondered about your world. It's been so crazy. And it's been so fun to be able to kind of convert into that. But yeah, I went to school initially. I mean, good grief, we could just go through a whole lot of different phases. But initially, I thought I was going to be a sportscaster from the very beginning. That was my whole goal. I always wanted to be a sportscaster. I wanted to be on ESPN and talking about sports because I've always loved sports and always really enjoyed that. But somewhere along the way in my college frame, I started to really kind of fall in love more, which I had always been in love with music. But as I grew into my college self, I became more and more in love with music. And I decided that the radio television route wasn't maybe exactly where I wanted to go, but I still wanted to be in some sort of performance world. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of where I was headed. And so then I decided, you know what, I want to get into the music business. I didn't want to be a musician. I wanted to be in the music business. I wanted to do, you know, publicity, promotions, artist relations type stuff. So my fastest route that I could figure to get there was to study public relations and marketing. So that's what I studied in school, went all the way through school, loved all of my, you know, courses and stuff like that. And it led me to that. And so immediately upon graduation, I immediately moved to Nashville because that's what you do, right? When you want to get in the music business, that's what you do. So of course I did exactly what you do when you try to get into the music business. And I went out there and I struggled and I waited tables and I bartended and I took odd jobs kind of wherever I could until I could try to find my footing in what I thought was going to be the music industry. And the reason I say that is because it turned out not being that. So I ended up landing a job at the arena there in Nashville and actually started working in human resources, oddly enough. It, you know,
right.
Very, very strange connection. But to me, I was getting involved in the entertainment industry and that this was me getting there. And that company that I worked for actually led me to a marketing position at a casino outside of Memphis, which of course was back closer to home for me. So I was excited about that. I was going to be closer to my friends and my family. And so I took that position and I will tell you that as hard as that transition was for me personally, it was the best thing I could have ever done for my career because it number one, I had to break out of a mold that I was very comfortable in. And I had to do something that was uncomfortable.
Right.
But then it also caused me to really focus on what I wanted to do in my career, which at that point was, you know, hospitality marketing is what we'll call it, entertainment marketing. Right. And so I did that for about 8 years. Along the way, as you know, I met the love of my life and ended up transitioning from there to Little Rock, Arkansas. And I worked for a couple of years for a nonprofit organization in Little Rock, Arkansas, for one of the biggest nonprofit organizations in the world, and got a really whole new dose of marketing experience there, because I went from having this giant budget and being able to market just about anything to anyone to not having a budget and having to figure out, how do I get the word out about this nonprofit organization? And then from there, that led us to where I currently live in St. Louis, Missouri. And we ended up here, and you and I started talking along the way about where my next step was going to be. And I didn't know what it was going to be. I didn't have a clue. And you started telling me about these new tools that you had coming out, and all of these new exciting things that you were working on, and you wanted someone to work with you. And you and I had been talking for years and years and years about how we could cross our paths and try to work together. And this was the perfect opportunity. And that was in August of 2020. And it's been hit the ground running ever since. And I don't see it going anywhere but up. So all good things.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. It's like, you know, you come through and I think we both sort of experienced the same thing with your background, you know, with the casino, with the nonprofit, with everything before that. You get a sense of like what it takes to get people to come through the door, whether it be a big organization, a smaller organization. And through that process, I think both of us, in sort of our kind of coming up, sort of figured out the challenges that a lot of small businesses face. And then, like, you know, we were building a couple of tools, like you said, and then, like, you know, the world flipped over. And that's the thing. We had to make a decision early on. And I talked about this with Zach on a previous episode, but we talked about, like, were we still going to go this path? And we felt like it was so incredibly important that we put ourselves at risk to continue the mission, because our mission that we started before the pandemic was even more important during the pandemic and after, mm-hmm. which was build tools that help businesses connect with their audience and get, you know, butts in seats or get orders, you know, and like get sales made.
Yep.
And so that's where, you know, that's where it all kind of started. We were building these software tools in the background that we had always kind of had on our wish list. Like, there was just stuff out there that was functional for us in terms of, like, you know, how we helped businesses, how we helped our business grow too. But it wasn't quite what we wanted in terms of being able to build what we needed to build. And, you know, so, you know, even back when I was a chiropractor to, you know, getting into more marketing stuff, from the back when you were doing stuff at the casino, it all sort of kind of converges onto this moment in time, which is the world shuts down. Because we had no idea what we were up against. And it took us a good year and a half to even have a sense of what we were up against. And, you know, I think we live in a completely different world now. And I think the marketing challenges for people, you think about things in a much different way. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I've kind of prepped everybody in the last few episodes as to what we're doing with ChiroSites. And, you know, my experience with, you know, being a chiropractor, the challenges before the pandemic, the challenges that, you know, were during the pandemic and after the pandemic. And, you know, a lot of the things that we see in terms of, you know, what chiropractors are doing is a very outdated mode of marketing yourself. And being efficient when marketing yourself. And that's not to knock any chiropractors. I think the thing is like, when I was a chiropractor, I didn't want to be a marketer, like, sure. Period. Like, I didn't want to be a marketer. I wanted to be a chiropractor because, like, where my function was in the world and where I made the most impact was helping people to get better fast. Like, that's it. Like, that it's somebody walks in and can barely walk, and they walk out with their head held high because they feel better. Like, that's what it's all about. Like, when your day ends with that, you have served your place in the world. You have made an impact.
Yeah.
It's not so much on the, how do I, you know, rank higher in Google? It's not on, how do I remind people, hey, you need to make sure you're doing this when you're sitting at your computer every day. Like, all things that happen in my office, but getting those things to sort of translate outside of the office, which, you know, in turn brings more people in the office. It's not something that I wanted to think about every day. I wanted to focus on my job. So that's not, you know, it's something for me that when I was a chiropractor, I needed that help. And, yep. You know, so when we built sort of this company, you know, before we got specific into this ChiroSites project, you were doing a lot of sales demos for our software and have been highly successful with that. And, you know, give me sort of a background before we get into more about Cairo sites, because we want to cover that, but give me a little more of a background on, like, when you've been on these calls with people, because, like, not only are you on, like, sales demo calls, but you're on, like, a lot of calls with existing customers, supporting them too. You know, give me just a brief overview of what that experience has been like in terms of, you know, when you're connecting to people on the other end, what has that been in terms of, you know, seeing what's actually going on, and how has that experience been like for you?
Well, I don't know if eye opening is even big enough. It's been huge. You know my past quite well, but the listeners here might not. It's never been, and people so often, and you and I've talked about this several times, so often equate sales with marketing. Like, right. if you're good at one, you're automatically supposed to be good at the other, and that's not the case at all.
Right.
And I've always considered myself a pretty darn good marketer, but I've never considered myself a good salesman ever. So when you first approached me as to getting on these demo calls and starting to interact with potential subscribers, then I was very intimidated. I really was, because even though I know these pieces of software like the back of my hand, and I know how to articulate their value, I still thought there was going to need to be some sort of pitch, right? I mean, that's always what scares you. But at the end of the day, most of my demo calls, I never have to do that.
Yeah.
All I have to do is highlight features, highlight specific use cases. That's the most important thing. Is if I get on a demo call with a chiropractor or someone who's potentially going to work with a chiropractor, I'm going to show them exactly how I would use it as an agency owner for a chiropractor. And it's, so those specific elements it's really opened my eyes to this quote unquote sales process, which at the end of the day, the tools sell themselves, and that's really the way I feel about it. I'm just kind of a conduit for it. I get to just kind of beat the drum and praise this amazing these amazing pieces of software, and really talk about the fact that potential clients, chiropractors, you know, automotive shops, anyone can come across these amazing tools and build their business, improve their communities, and improve their own personal lives, which is, you talked about having an impact. That's where I get my personal joy from at the end of the day, is that's the impact I want to have. When I get off the calls with someone, I want to feel like, you know what? They're going to go out and they're going to change their own personal life and maybe the lives of those around them because of this call. And that makes me so excited.
Well, I think that, you know, a lot of people that listen to this are folks that want to work from home, or they are salespeople that maybe have not feel like they've lived up to their potential yet. And I think that that's a lot of things. We're all trying to grow, right? This is the Serial Progress Seeker podcast. We're all trying to get a little farther.
Yeah.
And one of the things that really occurred to me early on too is, a lot of sales in the beginning to me, when I was doing it wrong, was pitch. It's exactly what you said. I thought about things as a pitch and I didn't think about things as a demo. And when I started kind of shifting into demo mode, my life got infinitely easier, because I went from trying to convince someone that they needed something to pay me for it, blah, 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 to let me show you this cool thing that I think relates to you and can make your life better. And it's a completely different mindset as you sit and you approach something. There's a lot less pressure on me to go into a demo than there is to go into a sales pitch. And that's why I don't ever want to go into a sales pitch again.
I'll tell you specifically, I'm pretty sure you said it somewhere along the way, but even so, I've kind of gathered it along the way, but it's the conversations that I have, instead of any sort of pitch or anything like that, what I'm doing is, hey, I've got this secret and I want to let you in on it.
Yeah.
I've got this amazing thing and I want you to come along for the ride. So it's like instead of selling down or selling up, you're putting yourself on the same level as someone you're talking about, and it's aligning with them, saying, hey, we're gathering all these people for our team and we're going to go conquer the world. And I think that's a really cool mindset to have.
So, and I think that you said something else that sort of takes us into the actual what I wanted to interview you about, which is you said something like the product sells itself. Now, that's a sort of a line that gets used a lot, but this is a very conscious thing. And before we built this Kairosites, and like I said, you can go back to episode one and sort of listen to what Kairosites is, but Kairosites is a specific way that we have built a website that does the things that need to happen for a chiropractor to grow. And it gets away from a lot of the crap that gets put onto a chiropractic website that actually does zero for the chiropractor. Like, I see so many fancy pieces of technology on chiropractic websites that actually slow it down, that actually get it to rank lower in the search engine rankings. Like, they're fancy on a sales pitch, but what this actually reflects is, well, we had this thing and now we have to figure out how to sell it. Where we actually went into it, and we started from the ground up with Kairosites, is we said, what are the actual pieces of the puzzle that serve impact, that serve butts and seats, that get people to understand what a chiropractor is all about? Make sure that they show up where they need to show up, you know, when people are searching, and gets them visibility. But more importantly, once they have that visibility, what are they doing with it? And that's the thing, is how do you actually funnel someone from that part where they're like, I need help with this problem. Not thinking about a chiropractor, but like, I have this problem. And how do you sort of get them from that portion all the way down the line to the point of, not only do I need a chiropractor, but I need this chiropractor. And, you know, when we built Kairosites, it wasn't, oh, we've got this product, now we've got to figure out how to pitch it to sell it to chiropractors. We actually built a product from the absolute ground up to sort of fix this. And, you know, what this actually came from, if we're getting really into it, is my experience as a chiropractor, all my friends that are still, you know, actively practicing every day, what are they experiencing? And so we really built from the ground up, and we built it in a way that we wouldn't have to do a lot of salesy stuff. Yep. We built it in a way that we just had to really explain what all of these pieces were that made up these Kairosites, and you know, put it all together. And really what Kairosites comes to be is, are you building a website that's built to convert, that ranks decently high, or is at least designed to rank decently high over a period of time? Number two, do you have a funnel on the website so that when people come to it, they can say, yes, that's my problem, let me learn more about that. And when they learn more about that, it alerts the office that, hey, somebody wants more information on this, and they can actively reach out to this person. But also on social media, because social media is so huge, how are we attracting people using those mediums? We've got all these pieces of the puzzle that sort of come together to do those things. And like I said, if you guys want to listen to what that is, go back to episode one. I have a full explanation. Today's different though. What Marshall and I kind of want to talk about is where he really lives, which is the sales process. For those of you that have a product, or you're building a product, and maybe you're working from home, maybe you're working with a company, but you want to sort of build a sales process that doesn't necessarily exist. And so what we did is we wanted to take what was working for us, but expand it out in a way that we could really build it at scale. And what I mean by that is, how do we go from having a small amount of people doing, you know, a few jobs that can cover so much territory, to a large team that can be doing a lot? And how do we comfortably build up? Now, this is something that Zach and I, and you can hear more about Zach in episode two, but we've done this before. But this one, you know, very close place in my heart with chiropractors, because I know as we scale this up, we're serving more and more chiropractors and helping more people through who those chiropractors help. So what we want to do today is we want to sort of break down the three parts of the sales process. This is the sales process meeting. And so we've got these three parts. I'm going to let kind of Marshall explain what these three parts are. It's part one, part two, part three, and go through just at the beginning here, man, what are the three parts? And then we'll sort of dig into each part specifically. But in our sales process, what are the three parts? Marshall actually, at the beginning of this, is doing all of them. You know, he's the guy, because Marshall's job is not so much just the salesperson. More importantly, what Marshall does in our company is Marshall goes in and tests the process, then he builds a team around it. Like, so that's where we sort of are with this, with Kairosites. We've got teams and other things, but with Kairosites, we're building a new team from the ground up. Marshall's sort of the head of that. Right now, he gets to be the one that, you know, does all the fun stuff. He has the sales experience, so that's not an uncomfortable thing. But I think what's really interesting about these three parts that you're building, man, is you're building them out to grow and train other people, not to necessarily sit in the roles forever that you're covering right now. But all that said, nobody really wants to hear me talk about the specifics of the big picture right now. Let's talk about kind of what these three parts are to our sales process. And this is how you basically go, you guys, everybody that's listening, how you go from, I have no prospects, I have nobody that, you know, I have on the line to talk to about my product, to actually having a pipeline of people that you're going to showcase, you know, whatever your product is. So Marsh, walk me through, what is this process that we're building? What are the three parts? And then we'll get into the specifics.
Yeah. So the three main steps, I mean, it's just like, I don't know. It's just like the scientific method, right? So you start out from the very top, and step number one is all about identification. So it's prospecting and research. How do I find the right kind of potential client that I know that I want to go after, and then doing the research, doing the legwork to find out specific information about them. And we'll dig further into that here in a minute. But so that's part one, prospecting and research. Part two is appointment setting. It's all about setting the actual appointments. Once you've actually identified who you want to go after, is getting on the horn with them and setting up an appointment, because we're trying to get to step three, which is the sales demo itself. And that's how you actually get, when you get in front of the potential client and actually get to pitch, even though we don't really like to pitch,
right?
And you get to share with them what you have to offer.
Well, I think a lot of people screw this up. And if you're starting out in sales, a lot of people screw this up because they blend part two and part three.
Sure.
They try to get on the phone the first time and get their whole pitch out. The first time is just asking permission to actually do a demo for somebody. And that's the thing. Everything that you do, when you do it correctly, is very permission-based. And so, you know, with part two, and we'll go through this more, it's more about how do I call this place or get in touch with this place and ask for what I really want, which is to give them a demo of what we're doing. And those are usually, you know, very, very rarely do I go in for an appointment and get to do a full demo. And I think a lot of people just starting out in their companies, when they're doing this kind of thing and they're selling something, they try to blend these things together and it's just disastrous for them. And they're like, oh my God, I hate sales so much. Well, it's because you're putting yourself in a really tough position. And so I think, you know, what we really want to do today, we want to walk you guys through this. We want to, you know, anybody that's wanting to build a sales process, especially with, you know, something where you're demoing, how do we do this? And so let's break these parts down. So part one, this is really where we're just like, how do we not waste our time when we get to part two, which is appointment setting? How do we make sure that everybody that we're talking to is, you know, fitting a certain amount of criteria? And I really want to get as specific as possible on this, because I think anybody listening actually wants to know what we're really doing, not just like the specifics or the specifics of the high level, but what are the granular pieces? So part one, prospecting and research. What have you been doing? Like, I think this is going to be fascinating for people. And like, let's actually break it down piece by piece. What have you been doing to sort of build your list of prospects? Because you can only go after so many in a week. I mean, that's just all there is to it. You only have so many hours in the day, especially when you're doing it by yourself. When we've got this set up in a way where Marshall's doing all this to start, and we like kind of coming from this perspective because it really gives everybody listening, hey, I could do this by myself to start. Yep. So what are you doing with the prospecting and research, and fill me in?
Yeah. First of all, from the prospecting point, it's all about identifying areas of potential opportunity, right? So however you go about doing that, it's whether it's through Google searches, it's through searching databases that are available online. And we know that there are tons and tons of them out there that are available for folks. So it's all about checking those out, finding opportunities. So you mentioned it, you hit the nail on the head. It's about establishing your criteria. And that's probably the most important thing that you got to do right out of the gate, is establish the criteria for the kind of potential client that you would like to go after. Right.
Right.
And so what's the checklist of items? Now, of course, this checklist could be 100 pieces long,
right?
But it's all about dialing into what's most important to you and the pain points that you know that your specific solution can provide. And I think that's what we focused a lot on. So we've actually nailed it down to, I would say 10 or 12 specific pieces of criteria that we are looking for in a business that when we go out to search for them, whether it's through Google or through a database, if they hit the majority of these lines, then we know that they are what we identify as a premium prospect. So that's what we go after.
So to get really specific with this, one of the things that we started off with you guys, everybody that's listening, is we wanted to go after people that already had a website. We don't really think that it's a good idea for us to build what we call a Cairo site, which is an advanced marketing tool, an advanced sort of website. It's not a good idea to go after somebody that's not even been sold on the idea of having a website in the first place. To be honest, that is a huge red flag for anything we're doing. If they don't have a website, we don't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole. So one of the tools that we use is something called Built With. And Built With is really cool because you can go in and we'll have the URL somewhere in the show notes, but I can't remember if it's a .com or what it is, but it's called Built With. What Built With does is Built With says, this is the kind of technology that this particular business is using to build their stuff. And so what it tells us is this particular group of people, and we just search chiropractor, this particular group of people is using this set of tech to build their stuff. And so what we can do is we can actually say, you know, we only want to target people that are using this particular WordPress theme, or we only want to target people that are using this particular CMS, which is, you know, a content management system to build their website. And we can really narrow down into some interesting things. I'm not going to get super specific, but I will give you guys a hint. One of the things that we love is when we identify a company that we think is taking advantage of our core group, which is chiropractors, we think that, hey, you know, they're really not striving to grow and to actually help the industry. We actually did this. We're like, who are the companies out there that, you know, are using a certain stuff? And if they're not doing a good job, how can we go after their particular people? Because we know we can do a better job for them and we know we'll care more. And so that's kind of what we did. We built a list. I mean, at least we started with that list with Built With. We were like, this is the crew that we want to go after. Now, after that, you know, you could stop there, but you're screwed if you stop there. After that, it's like Marshall said, we have like 8 to 10 criteria. And with those criteria, let's just name a few criteria that are like super important for us in terms of like that these chiropractic, you know, sites have to, you know, when, as we start to really break down this list that we found on Built With, instead of just using the entire list, how are we further filtering these people down into what's qualifying? So what are some of our things?
Yeah. So once we identify them, obviously the first thing, just like you said, is we want to go out and look and see if they do have a current site. And then we're going to kind of evaluate that current site, right? We're going to take a look at it. Number one, one of the biggest things that we always tend to look for, and this is something that you've preached for a long time and I fully believe in, is whether or not they've been in business for 3 or more years.
Yeah.
I think that's such a huge element because those folks that have been in business for a few years, they've gotten those initial kind of headaches out of the way.
Yeah.
And they're somewhat established, at least to a certain extent. And you want to kind of pick up the ball and run for them, right? So that's kind of the whole idea there. Some specific things that we always try to take a look at. We want to know if the site is mobile responsive. It still blows my mind how many sites that are out there don't respond mobily. It just blows your mind because we know, I mean, there's all kinds of statistics out there for how many people are searching for businesses on their phones as opposed to a desktop. It's just unbelievable. So the fact that it's mobile responsive is a huge, huge element. And then we're looking for some specific kind of, I won't call them defects, but maybe some places where they lack in overall kind of, you know, design. They're pertinent and up information. Is it up to date? Number one, like that's such a huge deal. Like
right.
You wouldn't believe how much out of date information that exists out there. How organized is their site? You know, we want to know specifically because what I try to do, and this is not brain rocket science or anything, but what I try to do is look at every single site as a potential person that's looking for a chiropractor, right?
Right.
So I go and I look at these sites and I go, if I can't get to a handful of information really, really quickly, then it's buried too deep. If I can't find your phone number right off the bat, then I'm not able to get in touch with you immediately, then I'm already giving up. I'm going to the next one type thing. So that we're searching for kind of certain defects that are kind of like that. You know, and then of course we're looking for some other things like, you know, how are they ranking in Google on Google for keywords? And then we go out and even do a little bit of a deep dive into their social media as well. We want to know, you know, how active they are on social media, whether they're posting content that's relevant, I'll call it. You know, yeah. A lot of times, sometimes it'll be educational, but sometimes they're just posting just because, and we see opportunities to help them there. And then whether they're kind of driving traffic to their own sites, things like that, and whether they're actually showing engagement. That's the biggest thing on social media. Are they actually engaged with their followers? So those are the main things that we're really looking through as we're going through these.
So it's this weird balance for everybody that's listening. And I want to really stress this. It's a weird balance of, you don't want to go after people that are so careless that they're not doing some core things, because if they're not doing some core things, they're not working for themselves. As a service provider, and we've learned this over the years, as someone that actually helps businesses, you can't help someone that won't help themselves, period. So there's this weird balance of, like, you want someone that's meeting, that is willing to meet you halfway, at least. So we're looking for people that very much have a few criteria in place, but also, that's the thing, we also want to make sure that we have room to help. Like we run into some people as we're doing this lead gen stuff that we're like, they're doing good. They're doing a good job. It's a small list, as I'm sure you know, as you've looked around, but like, it's a small list, but if they're doing good, then there's no reason for us to come in and try to, you know, rock what they're doing, because it's fine. But what we're looking for is this business putting out the effort? Is this business hitting the minimum criteria? And then is there room for us to come in and almost immediately make an impact by helping them fill in the gaps that they're missing? If there are no gaps, then we can't help. And why would we go after those people? Because there is no benefit to us or them. But if they are working hard, they're trying to get a couple things in place, they're just not quite there, and we can come in and for very little money every month, we can help put those things together for them. That's where we see the opportunity. So there's this balance of, are they doing the things that we think are super important to do there? If they're not, they're not on our list. If they're doing all of them and we can't improve, they're not on our list. But if they hit sort of that sweet spot, that's where we want to be. And we actually rank them. And like, you have a ranking system in our, you know, as we're sort of putting these people together, you have a ranking system where you kind of have a three tier of this. These are the people we're calling first, because they are definitely who we want to be working with. These are the people that after we get through that next list, you know, we sort of go after them. And then we got our third tier after that. Now, the reason that we're doing this right now is obviously right now, when it's just you, man, you're calling that list and hopefully we get through the list of, you know, the ideals, but we're building a list for a team. And yep. That's really what I think you're stressing right now, is we're really building the infrastructure that not only for us, and this is where a lot of starting out folks mess up, is they'll just build for them. And then they realize that once they kind of have some success, their system isn't even close to being able to run, you know, at scale. And that's what we're wanting to do. We're wanting to make sure that, hey, when we have a 5-person team and they get all the way through their lead list, they know, hey, I'm moving on to this second tier list. Maybe it's not as good of a fit, but maybe what I'm putting in front of this group changes because these are the criteria that they meet. Yep. And so from a prospecting perspective, I don't think a lot of people put enough into this. And this is the foundation that if you do this right, all the other stuff is big. So to stop before we get into part two and part three, I gotta say this. Whereas a lot of people get super frustrated with selling, it's because of this. Number one, your product has not been designed for the market. You had a product and then you tried to fit it to the market. So design your product from the ground up. The sales stuff gets way easier for that. So if you've been having trouble with sales, I want you to go back and I want you to think about this. Was my product designed for this market? And if not, think about making a couple of tweaks or additions to your product that are going to help it be more designed for the market. Number two, are you actually paying attention to what the business is doing? Or are you just mass calling? That is the quickest way I know to hate sales. Just absolutely hate it, because you're going after people that you don't really need to be going after in the first place. They're on one end of the spectrum and they're not where you need to be. So prospecting research, making sure your product is right. Those things are huge. And people hate selling when those two things have not been done correctly. When those things are done correctly, it's not really selling. It's just sharing your stuff. And it's, you know, it's something you're already nerdy about, and you get to be nerdy about it with someone that it can really help and make a huge impact for. So that's part one, prospecting and research. Thank you. I think that's a huge insight as to, like, I don't think a lot of people realize the amount of work that goes into just that piece of the puzzle. And as we have said, all of this is designed to hand to somebody else and to train someone else to do these things so that as our team grows, as our results grow, you know, we just keep hiring behind us and, you know, keep putting people in spots that they can have success and help us have success all the way through. Tell me about part two, the appointment setting.
Yeah. Well, so you touched on it earlier, how important it is to kind of segment these pieces, even though they all flow together. It's very important to segment them. And so part of that, the last part of the prospecting and research part is the gathering of the information, right? So you have to go out to the sites themselves.
Actually do it. You're right.
And actually pull the contact information. You have to pull their name, their phone numbers, their URLs, their addresses, all the social links, all the basic things that you would need to be able to have, a snapshot of a business right in front of you. Because when we get to that second step of appointment setting, that's what's going to be handed off to that person, right? That's what
you don't want to go back. You don't want to have to go back, right? That's monstrous. And I can't believe I skipped over that. But like, you're right. You want an appointment. When you're in appointment setting mode, if you're doing all of it, you want to be in that mode.
That's right.
If you are just an appointment setter, you need the right things handed to you so that all you are focused on is the calling and setting of appointments. So I'll let you dive in, but like, that's such a huge tip for anybody listening is like, you actually have to have this stuff ready. And for those of you doing it by yourself, maybe gap it up by days so that you can keep your head in one spot. That's what we do. And, you know, anytime we're building a new business and, you know, you have limited staff, or maybe it's just you, you've got to make sure that you can gap this stuff up so that your brain is not switching, because multitasking is the kiss of death. For anybody. And I know that some people are listening to this right now. Well, Ben, that's in a perfect world. That's great to say that multitask, you shouldn't multitask. Well, here's my point. When you're designing this stuff from the ground up, you design your business for success. You don't design your business for chaos. Now, there's going to be chaos that comes up. But when you design it from the ground up to avoid those things, and that's why we're doing this way. All right. So part two, getting into the appointment setting. What does that involve? Obviously, we now have our research that was done beforehand and it's in front of us. We have a list of people that we want to call, but like, what does this actually look like?
Yeah. So that's the big thing. So as we're building this process, we're sitting ourselves in each one of these seats and experiencing what that person's going to experience. So when we have an appointment setter in place, we want them to, just like you said, to have that information directly in front of them so they know how to get directly in contact with that business. But then what's next? What in the world do I say? You know, what do I say to them when I get them on the phone? If I'm lucky enough to get them on the phone and have a real conversation with them, what are the things that I'm going to focus on in a very short amount of time? Because the big thing, and you and I talked about this as we were kind of setting this up, we don't want our appointment setters to be our salesmen, right? They're very different. This person is all about identifying themselves, who they're with, who they're working with. So I'm calling someone, I'm saying, hi, I'm Marshall. I work with ChiroSites. We're building these specialized chiropractic websites that are automating the growth of your practice and is going to help further the mission of chiropractic. And then I'm going to tell them a little bit about how I got in contact with them, right? Because otherwise they're going to be like, you know, why are you calling me?
Right.
You're calling me from a number in St. Louis and I'm here in Wisconsin. I don't understand why you're calling. But so I want to tell them a reason why I came across. And typically what that's going to come from is like, hey, by the way, I've been doing some research. I came across you guys on your website. I came across your Facebook page. And I just wondered if I might be able to schedule time with you. So, and I think that's, and I know you'll want to touch on this more, but it can be so easy as an appointment setter. And especially when you're one person trying to do this whole process, which a lot of folks are going to try to do, to try to immediately push directly into that demo. And it just can't be stressed enough how important it is to segment just setting the appointment to itself. And the reason that is because you're not always going to be prepared to just drop that demo on them right there. And if you can just go ahead and set yourself up for that appointment, then the next time you talk to them, you are going to be prepared. So that's the biggest piece. And I think it's such a huge piece to focus on. So all it is we're trying to get them on the horn, identifying ourselves, telling them who we are, why we got in contact with them, and wanting to know if we can schedule a few minutes to set up a demo. And then I'm waiting their responses. And what we've done on our scripts is as we're building these is we've built in a handful of what we know that we're probably going to hear. But as I'm starting to get on the horn and talk to these chiropractors, I'm going to hear a wide variety of responses, and I need to be able to kind of react and be malleable in those situations. So it's all about kind of getting the right person in the right seat, and then just having an initial immediate conversation that's short, sweet, and to the point, and then move right on. I've got this appointment set, and we can move on to the next one.
Yeah. Well, and so just to kind of give everybody a behind the scenes of what this process has been is, you know, I have designed sales processes in the past, and, you know, what you do is you go, you talk to your salespeople and, or actually your appointment setters, salespeople, you talk to everybody sort of individually. But the idea is you build a set of scripts. And the idea here is most of the time when you're calling a business, you are, if you're starting out, you kind of think, I'm in this mode. If I get somebody, I'm going to try to get into a demo and get that going. The problem is this is very much like dating in that you can't ask for too much too fast. Most of these people are busy when you call them the first time. And so all you really have time for, all you really can expect off of a call like this, and we qualify these prospects, but they're still almost, I mean, this is still kind of what you would consider cold. Okay, it's kind of a cold call. And this gets such a bad name. And it gets such a bad name because a lot of times people aren't doing the research process the way we described before. But what I really want you guys to really focus on is appointment setting and scripting for this. All we were scripting for is, can we get a yes or a no for another date, an appointment, a demo? That's all you can possibly expect from somebody when you have interrupted their day. Okay. And that's the thing is, like, you have to understand where you're sitting in this process. We have interrupted their day. They don't know us that well. We just have to say, this is who we are. We're a business just like you. And we've got this thing we think you might be interested in. And all I really want to know is, can I have 15 minutes of your time to walk you through it at a later date? When you're not so swamped, when you're not being taken off guard, you know, and that's it. All you are expecting at this point is, can I get a yes or a no on the 15-minute demo? And if they don't give you a yes or no, you say, you know, can I call back at another time that maybe we could chat, you know, about setting this up? And that's the thing. All of our scripting for the appointment setters are specifically to set this demo. I don't want, when we're in appointment setting mode, I don't want anybody thinking about doing a demo on the call. Like, and right now, even you're like, well, what if they can do it right now? It's actually not good. It's actually not a good thing when you've got that. That's a red flag. That's something that actually hits me and says, I don't know if this is the kind of person that we need to be doing things with. I want to schedule something later on so both of us can come to the table knowing exactly what's coming. When somebody tries to do, and I've run into this, when somebody tries, I'm trying to set an appointment and somebody tries to get me to do the demo right away, it actually puts me in a spot where I think they don't actually care about this. They're trying to get something out of the way. And so I actually would say, well, you know, we actually don't have the tech to do this today because this is just a phone call. I have to show you. And it would be something like we would do on a computer, Zoom. And just tell me a good time and we'll go from there. And if that doesn't work for them, that's a no. That's a no, and they go off my list. And that's the thing that I think everybody has to really understand. Appointment setting is very segmented in your brain. There's borders around it. You're not trying to do a demo. You're trying to say, this is who I am. This is what I got for you. This is what I would love for us to do together sometime soon. Do you have 15 minutes in the next couple of days or the next couple of weeks that we can get together and I can actually show you this? It'll take me 15, for real, 15 minutes. And this is the result I think I can get you if this is a good fit for you. But that's it. You're just trying to get to a spot where you can see if it's a good fit because you got this cool thing that you really believe can help them. So that's the appointment setting side. And, you know, like I said, what we did, and I think this was the most important thing Marshall mentioned, is we sat down, we wrote out scripts. We beat the scripts to death in-house, but we also beat the scripts to death realizing that there's a point where you have to go, because anytime you're going into a new market, there's things you run into live when you're doing these calls to set appointments that will change your scripting just a little bit here and there. And so these first few weeks, and this is part of when we will check in with each other, Marshall, kind of where we're at with this. These first few weeks are part of the process of us dialing in our appointment setting scripts. And that's what we're working on. And so just to give you guys a behind the scenes, nobody ever teaches this stuff like this. Like, you know, nobody ever gives you a behind the scenes spot like this. This is what we've wanted to do for a long time, is really put you in the process. And as it goes, what did we do to get ready for this? What's coming? So that's it. All right. So from there, let's say we do actually set the appointment, and, you know, we get somebody and they're ready to go and they want 15 minutes. They actually want to see what we're doing because they think, hey, maybe this is something that I've been looking for. What does the sales demo actually look like? And so part three, the sales demo, what do you got?
Yeah, I think it's just so important to kind of reiterate what we talked about earlier in the way we're doing current demos. I'm going to transition those into our Kairosites demos. And it's going to be, I hate to use the term simple, because of course it's not simple and there's a lot of elements that go behind it. But the sales demo, if we get them to that point, I'm already so confident, because number one, they've raised their hand and said, I'm willing to have a conversation with you, because something about what you said, your appointment setter said, made me go, oh, this is an opportunity.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's such a huge thing. So that person has willingly given you their time and is willing to listen and take a look at what you have to say. And I think at that point, it becomes kind of simple and easy at that point. I know you wanted to add to that.
Well, they just said, I need help.
Yeah.
One of the most important parts about doing business with somebody is them to actually tell you they need help. Too many times, and this is back into the pitch versus demo thing. Mm-hmm. Too many times we try to just sell things to people that aren't really ready for help. That's the changeover. You want to go from like, I'm struggling to I'm making a lot of money, as you start looking for signals in that research process that somebody needs your help. And then you reach out to them. And when they like, and you're right, man, when they book this demo, this 15-minute demo, they raised their hand, like you said, and they said, I need help. That's it. And when they've told you that they need help, you are 90% there.
Yeah.
And it's just from that point, it's like, does the economics of this make sense? And does what you told me that is going to help, does that make sense to me already? And so by the time we get to the demo, and we do a 15-minute, obviously, we'll stay on longer if they have questions. But like, we get to this 15-minute mode because we have a firm belief here that if we can't show you how something works in 15 minutes, it's too complicated.
Yeah.
Period. Like, it's just too complicated. And with the way things move right now, we've got to be able to show you. It's not even that we're just like, hey, we don't have your attention that long. It's got to be that simple. And so before, you know, talking about way back building the product and making sure that all the pieces of the puzzle were together, it really is it's like, can we show somebody in 15 minutes? And usually it's like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Can we show somebody in that amount of time something that makes sense and they will get how this helps? And so with the demo, I mean, go ahead and talk about it, but it is very... there's not a lot of spice to it. There's not a lot of fancy sales stuff, man. Like, go ahead.
And just like you just said, sometimes it takes 10 minutes. I wish I could tell you how many times it's taken 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Right. And most of that comes from their end. And this is something that's so important. And I think it can't be understated enough, is that in the introduction to every one of our demos that we're doing, we're going to find out about this business. And I want them to tell me specifically what they're missing, what's not connecting for them. Tell me about your business. What's going right in your business? What's not going right? What's going right with your current website and your current digital marketing? What's not going right? And what, because I'm going to learn about that. And then the rest of the demo, I'm going to tailor everything that I say and do based on what you just said, because I think it's just so important to listen to them, and because they're going to tell you. A business owner, no matter who, what kind of business it is, but specifically even a chiropractor, they're going to tell you exactly what's not working for them. And then all you got to do from that point is like, hey, I got this. This could work for you. You know?
Well, it is. Is it a fit? And I think that's the other thing. It's like so many people get onto these calls and there's a lot of pressure to just throw up everything that you've got. A lot of our process is we know by the time they're here, they have raised their hand. They've said, I need help. If they are an advanced enough human being to say, I need help, they have tried things. We know they've tried things because that was part of our research process. But they're at a spot where they're like, what I'm doing is not working and I need to figure this out. And so the sales demo, really, you're right. It becomes this thing where we're really just trying to figure out what's not working for you. And as we hear that, you know, what we're doing in our head, the mental math is, does our product actually fit mm-hmm. the situation?
Yeah.
And then we spend a lot of our demo very much showing them this. We'll show them the whole thing, but we very much stress the pieces that actually fill in where they've been lacking. And that's yep. not some like fancy sales tactic. That's just human communication.
Yeah.
And I love that. And so like demos, yes, we show the software. We show examples of the sites. We show example of the social media posts that come with it. We show example of the opt-ins that go on the website and how you download that, how it sends a text message directly to the office when somebody downloads so that they've got the lead and they can call them right away. We show all those things so they can see these things working. But I think the most important part is we pay very special attention to what's been lacking. And we make sure that they understand we've got their back. And I think this is the most important part of early sales demos for anybody listening. If you're just starting sales demos and you're getting on sales demos, you're going to find a hole in your product, period. Mm-hmm. You're going to find something that keeps coming up over and over again, and you're going to find a hole in your product. One of the most important things you can do as a product creator, as someone that is selling something, is put in the time, the effort, and the money to fix that hole so that you are taking care of that for your customer. That's when you see a business that's doing pretty good with their sales explode their sales, because there will be one to two things that in these demos pops up over and over and over again that you're going to be like, well, my product doesn't solve that. You can keep beating your head against the wall or you can fix it. And like part of where we came in with this is that we're like, we see a lot of the angles because of my history, because of my connections, but there's got to be things that we don't see. When those things pop up, are we in a position to where we can fix those things? And that's part of this process that we're going to teach you guys as we go through this and we recap. We're going to tell you guys where the blind spots were and how we filled that in. So, you know, from appointment setting to sales demo calls, as you're actually interacting with the businesses, you've got to be listening and don't take I'm missing something as a, well, this sucks and I got to quit. Take it as a, ooh, you're giving me strategic information that is going to help me make more sales. But also, and this is the big one, we're not here to sell something that somebody buys and 3 months later they hate. We're here to sell something that 3 to 5 years from now, they're glad they met us 3 to 5 years ago. And that's that, you know, if you do that, that's where it's at. And, you know, that's a big part of why Marshall's so good at this, is because he's good at listening and coming back to me. Like I'm in my Slack all the time and Marshall's like, I think we should fix this. Not that it's like a problem, but it's like, we should add this into what we're already doing because it makes sense. And I'm seeing that this is something that it's not just a vanity want. It's a, these people actually need this and this is why. Yeah. And so that's a big thing. So, you know, I know we're kind of coming to the end here, but we're going to be dialing each of these in. We've talked about that. Our goal is, as each part of this starts to work, we're going to be expanding the team out. That's Marshall's job, is to actually, you know, go through this process, dial this stuff in, but actually train the team that we hire. You know, he's doing all the roles right now, but the idea is he hires someone to take each of these roles as he goes. And that's what you should be doing. Like if you're working from home and like you're scared of employees, well, you know, if you've never had employees before, if you've never had a team that works with you, you should be scared of it. But the idea is as you're going, you fit all of these pieces and you figure it out. Don't ever build something that only works based on your talent. Like Marshall's a really talented salesperson. Marshall can do all these pieces. Like all these pieces of the puzzle, he knows how to do very, very well. As he goes through this, he'll do them very, very well too. But like his all-seeing goal is, don't build something that only relies on my ability. And that's me too. Like anytime I've done that, I've hated my life 2 years later, you know, because you can't go on vacations. You can't leave, you know, and that's the thing that sucks the most, is when you put yourself in a position to where you have a business that actually runs you rather than running a business. And so we should state, part of our thing is Marshall expanding the team. And so I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, like anything you want to talk about, because that's going to be fun.
Yeah,
how,
I,
go ahead.
I do think there's something specific, and you and I have talked about this, and I think it's important to share with everyone, is being able to identify, not only identify, but then articulate the mission. So you've spoken so eloquently about not only your mission personally, but your business's mission, what Serial Progress Seekers' overall mission is. And that has worked its way down throughout all of your different products and is ingrained in every single person that works for you. But then we're taking that and also articulating mission's importance to like chiropractic. Yeah. And how important the mission of chiropractic is, and how we feel a very tight connection to that. And that's through you and something that you've been able to pass down. And I think being able to articulate that passion and that desire to want to not only improve a community or a person's life, but an overall mission of something like chiropractic is really, really important to the overall process. And I think it really can't be overstated how important that is.
Yeah. You know, and I've talked about this in past pods, but really the reason we're doing chiropractors is because they have this very specific thing that is really unique to them, mm-hmm. and how they approach healthcare and how they do things. And are there good chiropractors? Are there bad chiropractors? Yes, just like in any field. But like the core of chiropractic, we got into this not just because we thought, hey, this is a group of people that we can go after and sell something to. It's very much that I have this hardcore belief in what these people do. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I have a unique understanding of their struggle to getting that message out. And so, you know, what we're selling, as great as it is, it's an amazing product. We have worked so hard on this, but it's tools. Mm-hmm. And tools are very boring and not worth the money if you don't have something to use the tools for. And the tools, yes, are they going to get people through the door? Cool. Well, great. Like, we can sell something. Super.
Yeah.
But what is the mission behind that? And that's the thing. If we didn't believe in the chiropractic mission, there's plenty of other niches that we could have started with this particular project. We could have done a behind the scenes on. It probably would have been a lot easier, to be real honest. But we have a very core belief in this. And I think that that's the thing, is we're training new team members. And this is where you were going with this. As we're training new team members, we have to be very, very careful that they understand that mission. Because day in and day out, what, you know, you got to get paid. We understand that. You got a job, you hire people, they have a job, everybody has to get paid, everybody has to make a living, but you have to believe in your mission too. If you don't believe in your mission too, then your soul's done and you're just showing up for work. And we've all been in that position. And most of us that are listening to this, trying to do our own thing, is because we've all been in that spot before, and it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. The money long-term is never worth, you know, what it is if you don't have a mission to go with it. So yeah, it's important. Last thing, and then I appreciate your time. I don't want to keep you any longer, Marshall. I know everybody here would love for me to keep you, because it's just you've been a wealth of information today that I think a lot of people don't ever get to see when they're first starting, or even when they're experienced doing this. But goals, right now, as it stands, right now, as we're just leading into this, because what we wanted to position this podcast as, and I actually waited to do this interview until right now specifically, is we are about to dive into, for this business, and you've been doing demos for, you know, our other stuff for a while, but for this business, ChiroSites, we're about to start the demo process. So I, mm-hmm. like, for those of you that don't know where we are, we're at the beginning. Like, this is really the beginning of this one. And this is what's so fun about
it. We're on step one.
Yeah, we're on step one of this. And yes, we all have some experience, obviously. You can tell that by listening. But this is step one of this process. So we have a specific set of goals of what we're trying to accomplish right now that keeps us honest. And that's the thing. If you don't set yourself goals like what we're about to cover, you're going to find yourself in a really bad spot, because you can have all the tools, all the scripts, you can even have all the experience. But if you don't have goals, numbers that you're trying to hit, you can't look back and get a metric of how successful you actually are. And so that's why these are so important. So Marshall, out of the gate, what are our goals in terms of what we're trying to accomplish with these, you know, appointment setting, sales demos? Like, what are we trying to hit out of the gate that's on your list right now? And it's very simple right now, by the way, you guys, but go ahead.
Yeah. So what we did right out of the gate is, and it's, you're going to understand why here, the way we did it here in just a second. But what we wanted to do was just identify 50 businesses, 50 chiropractors, and develop that list, add them to our collection of information, our database of information, and quickly as possible, hurry up and get to that second set, that second step, which is the appointment setting, because we know the amount of information that we are going to learn from getting on the phone with these businesses is going to be invaluable. Yep. And the quicker that we can go ahead and get some of that information to continue to build these steps and build our team the right way and build these processes the right way and build these procedures the right way is to hurry up and have those conversations. So we built this immediate list of 50 chiropractors. I'm going to begin this week getting on the horn with them and just trying to set up demos. And it's going to be a challenge. I'll tell you, because right now in my head, I'm seeing it from all angles. So I do want to hurry up and speed them to the third step. Sure. But I'm going to do my best to keep it segmented because I want this to feel like it's going to feel for our team when we actually build our team and actually develop it. But yeah, we're going to get on the horn with 50 of them. I'd love to be able to set up, 5 to 10 demos would be fantastic. And I'd love to be able to close. To be honest with you, we've talked about it. When we feel like we get them to that third step, you said 90%, and I totally feel the same way. We're 90% of the way there. So if I can get 5 to 10 people on the phone, then I plan to close, 3 or 4 out of 5, or 8 or 9 out of 10, and I fully believe that we can do that.
So just so everybody's clear on sort of our goal, coming into this week, we have 50 businesses that have been researched. We want to call all 50. Like, now here's the problem with that, and I want to give some caveats to this. We think we can get through all 50 with one of us, Marshall being the person that's calling these businesses. And we think we can get through that list the first time. What's going to happen though is variations are going to be thrown in because this particular audience is going to have certain things about them, certain idiosyncrasies, and all audiences do that are going to, some of the calls are going to take longer. We're going to spend more time on calls sometimes than we normally would because we're learning. And this is consumption mode. We're in this mode of, we don't know this audience as well as we know we should, because, even as well as I think I know them working in that audience, we have to take this week and say, okay, this is our goal. We're going for 50. We're going to try to get around 10 to 20% booked in for an appointment. And we're going to try to close around 80 to 90% of that. And the way we've got this process structured, we think that we can pull that off, but we have no clue. Just to be honest, like every audience is different and the things that we're doing. So what I want everybody to understand is those are our very concrete goals, but we understand that these first 2 to 4 weeks are a big process in terms of really dialing in everything the way that we want it to be dialed in. Now, possibly past that too. I mean, like we're not crazy. We know that there's going to be a dialing process in the long way, but the biggest dialing in process happens right here. Mm-hmm. So things that would normally take a certain amount of time per week are going to take a lot more time. And so we start off with this. We know we've got, a big research process coming up. But here's what's really interesting about this research process. The research process, we feel like we have pretty much down. There will be small tweaks to the research process based on this first round of calls. But once we get through this first set of things, it really becomes something to where we can even start moving faster with the research process because we can hire people in to do that process pretty quickly. So, like I said, Marshall has sort of structured his week. Go ahead. You got something to add.
I was going to say, what's funny is if you think about it, we've got these three steps. We feel really good about what we've kind of outlined for step one. And we know we feel good about step three. The variable that we have to be able to figure out is step two. And that's what these next few weeks are really going to be about, is dialing that step two in, because we really feel good about one and three.
Yeah, well, and I think that this is what's really interesting. And everybody approached this from a very data-based view. And I love that you said that, because I hadn't even thought about that. But you're right. I'm only really worried about one of these steps right now. And that's in that second step, the appointment setting, really helps sort of dictate both one and three. I think that's the thing, is right now, and where we're going to probably update you guys more specifically is what happened in step two. And that will be probably the next interview that I do with Marshall when you come back, is we will go through kind of what worked, what didn't work. And listen, you know, this is the real world. This is the real world. We happen to be pretty good at this, but like, this is the real world. And what we want to sort of bring across to you guys is the good, the bad, and the ugly of all this. And so that's what we're going to have next time. Next time, we're going to give you the progress so far. We're going to tell you very honestly what was great, what sucked, you know, what days Ben wanted to burn the house down. And no, I'm kidding. But you guys, like, that's part of it. And the other thing that I really want to stress to everybody listening to this, because we have a lot of very young entrepreneurs that are listening to this as well, is when you're doing this right, you have a whole level of getting through things that most people on the planet don't know how to handle. You know, the daily stuff that pops up for an entrepreneur, especially doing something in sales like this, is stuff most people have no clue how to get through. What we want to present to you is like a very data-based approach to getting through it and a very behind-the-scenes look as to how we get through it, because it's like, this is what we do. We solve problems. We solve problems not only from a software, you know, with like ChiroSites solves problems for chiropractors that have been there for ages that I've just been pissed at. And I'm like, we got to build something. We have the tech, we have the money to do it. Let's build something. And then let's go help some people. But that's the thing is like, when you're doing that by yourself for the first time, sometimes it's very, very tough to see all the pieces and how they sort of segment out. I feel like that we're really going to be able to show you this over the next few months. So Marshall, thank you, man. I kept you an incredibly long amount of time. I apologize for that. But I did not expect this to turn out as well as it did. I mean, like I had an idea of this is going to be really good. People are going to love it. But like some of the things that you mentioned today, I was like, oh man, like that's, if I'd have known that starting out, and I didn't know that you had that. And then I didn't know you were going to talk about that. And that's the thing. I expected this to be really good, but this turned out to be a really, really great one. And I feel like this is one that anybody that's really like, how do I sell my stuff when I have zero, I have nothing. I don't know where to start. This sort of gives you a process. And by the way, you guys, if you have questions that we didn't cover, or you want us to be more specific on something, you can go to serialprogressseeker.com. There's a contact form there. You can fill it out. Send us a message. We want to know. And like I said, if you like this podcast, recommend it to a friend. Obviously, that would be great. And tell them about it. This is here because I far too often see people teaching this stuff in $1,000, $2,000, $5,000, $10,000 programs. You don't see a lot of this stuff hanging out on a podcast for free. And that's the thing. We're not really teaching a program. We're just telling you what we're actually doing here. And so, you know, good, bad, and ugly, that's what it's all about. So Marshall, thank you, man. I really appreciate it. I think people are going to be blown away when they hear kind of some of the stuff that you've talked about today. And I think they're going to be even more blown away once we give them our progress updates down the road. So any final words for anybody before you head out?
No, I thank you for the time. I think the biggest thing is when you're going through these processes, if you can be open to learn, the amount you will learn is just unbelievable. And when you can teach yourself to be willing to fall, you can't be tied down. Like there's no length that you can't go to when you're willing to fall. And I think that's the biggest thing. We're going to go ram this thing, and we might hit the wall a few times, but there might be a couple of those we break through, and that's going to be pretty awesome. So,
well, and if I give you because I started off this podcast, this is the perfect ending to it. You know, it always reveals itself. I talked about at the beginning of this podcast, kind of how Marshall and I were friends and we didn't know how working together would be. That's the personality trait that locks us in. If you want to know why this works, this relationship works for us, it's because both of us are sort of in that place in our life right now where we're very open to the fact that we're going to fall down 100 times to get to the one time that makes it all worth it. And, you know, when you've got people that you're hiring that believe that and are like, listen, I'm going to screw up. It's cool. But as long as you're okay with me screwing up and I can keep going and learn from it, that's, and I think that's why people, you know, I think that's why you put up with me too, is like, you see me screw up weekly. And it's really what you do on the other end of that screw up that is the most important thing. And so, And when I say screw up, it's not that you weren't trying hard. You know, you guys listening, it's never an effort thing for most of us. It's just that that's the way it works and that's how you learn. And yeah, so I love that thought, man. And listen, to you all listening, we appreciate you listening. And like I said, I can't wait to get to the next few episodes with this. We dropped these first three so that you guys can sort of get a good perspective. Where we're going from here is where it's going to get real interesting. So stay tuned. And yeah, I hope you guys enjoy this.